In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The most famous monk, the father of monasticism, is a man named Saint Anthony the Great. He lived in 4th century Egypt. His parents, they both died in their early years and left him a vast estate in the care of his younger sister. He found himself with sudden wealth and resources beyond belief. Legend has it that one day he walked into a church and heard these words from the pulpit: "If you wish to be perfect, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me." And Saint Anthony did just that. He sold it all and went to live a life of solitude and prayer in the desert. That command, "If you wish to be perfect, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me," that is given in the chapter just before the story of Zacchaeus. The young rich ruler asked Jesus how he may be perfect. Jesus tells him to sell everything, give the proceeds to the poor. The young rich ruler sulks away, the scripture tells us, for he had many possessions. He refused to give away those things which he held so dear. Saint Anthony responds to that command in the opposite fashion. He follows it exactly. And in doing so, he has inspired countless holy men and women to take up the vow of poverty and enter the spiritual wilderness for a life of contemplation or service to others. Saints like Augustine, Saint John Chrysostom, Saint Benedict, Macrina, Thomas Merton, and Mother Teresa. If Saint Anthony is the father of monasticism, the monasticism's roots are wrapped around the command of Jesus: if you wish to be perfect, sell everything, give away the profits, and follow me. It's not the most popular of commands from Scripture. I suppose one in every million folks hears it and takes up the challenge. What about the rest of us, though? We hear those words and wince. The prospect of giving up everything and living alone in the desert is certainly not for everyone. Though I must admit that on those days when the in-laws roll into town and my hounds are baying and the kids are fighting and the TV is blaring, I think to myself, perhaps Saint Anthony had it right. A cave in the desert is just the place for me. But Leanne and the girls will be the first to tell you that I am not cut out for that sort of life. Must I give everything? My canoes? My books? My big green egg? Ice cold Miller High Life? I can't do it. I won't. It is important to remember the context of the story with the rich young ruler. It is he who seeks Jesus, and it is only after an exhausted Jesus can give him no more advice that he lays that hammer down. Sell everything if you wish to be perfect. The context of our gospel today is important too. Zacchaeus, the wee little man remembered in children's songs, he may have been short, And that feature helps the story flow, the climbing of the sycamore tree and all that. But Zacchaeus was more than that. Zacchaeus was a wealthy and powerful man. Perhaps that makes it all the more charming that he climbs a tree to gaze upon the Lord. He was the chief tax collector of Jericho, the wealthiest of all the Palestinian settlements. And as a chief tax collector, all the other tax collectors would have had to kick up their profits to him. He was the top man in his profession and the highest earner in the Roman province that we know as the Holy Land. Now, as I said last week, in the history of the world, there are two places where taxes are despised more than any other. They are ancient Palestine and modern day Kershaw County. And so I'm sure you can relate to the people of Jericho. Zacchaeus was wealthy and powerful and hated, despised. The crowd would have been shocked to hear that Jesus was going to his house. Of all the houses, whatever happened to blessed are the poor, they would have grumbled. But Jesus saw in this man a person who was ready to repent. In the rich young ruler, he saw a man looking for affirmation without sacrifice. In Zacchaeus, he sees a man yearning for a new way of life. A man so desperate, that he would scramble up a tree just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. A man that was so ready to change, that when the Lord simply says that he will join him for supper, he declares his transformation to the crowd with tangible action to the end. Gospel does not say that they cheered, but surely they must have. They had been paying Zacchaeus, making him wealthy, portions of their wages for years. And now he was going to give half to the poor. Not all, half. And not only was he going to do that, he was going to look through all his books and evaluate every exchange he had ever made. If he had ever done anyone wrong, if he had ever profited unjustly or in error, he was going to repay them fourfold. Zacchaeus transformed the way he looked at his life. That is how one saves themselves from being lost, by transforming the way that they look at their lives. We said last week that Jesus encounters two types of people in the Gospels, brokenhearted and cold-hearted. We could just as easily call them open-hearted and closed-hearted. The rich young man is closed-hearted. Jesus asks him to give up everything, and he refuses to give up anything. Zacchaeus freely gives, not everything, but something. Something substantial. And by giving away the gold that men hold so dear, Zacchaeus opens room in his heart for something else. We have to make room in our heart by giving away that which we hold closest to it. Zacchaeus makes room in his heart for the grace of God. We must do likewise. Now, for some of you, that may mean giving away everything and wandering the swamps of the watery river. Jamie, I think in your future, Old English. Probably not, though. Probably not. My guess is that our solution, all of our solutions, is going to be far less extreme. Jesus calls us to repentance. Jesus calls us to reevaluate our lives, to shift our priorities from the earthly riches and temptations that cloud our minds and hold our hearts, to shift to what is truly important in the world. And to do that, we must break open our hearts. We must break open our hearts by giving of our time, of our talent, and of our riches. Of our riches. If Jesus says if we want to be perfect right away, then we've got to break it all the way open, and we've got to give it all. But even the slightest bit, even the smallest bit, opens your heart to the Spirit. It opens your heart to the grace of God. When we do that, when we truly do that, whether it be a wee little bit or a whole lot, we open that door. We open that door to be filled with grace and the love of Christ so that we may run without stumbling to obtain our heavenly promises. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.